It's Pentecost. So, of course, the traditional reading is from Acts. And it's, I think, appropriate to study that again, this reading. Now, Pentecost is indeed often referred to as the birthday of the church. And I think sometimes we as Christians don't always remember that Pentecost is a Jewish holiday that has become something that we celebrate as well. It's an important Jewish holy day. It's celebrated 50 days after Passover. It was 50 days after Passover that the Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, where they received the law. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Pentecost was also called the Feast of the Harvest, celebrating the first fruits and God's loving care for the people. There was a sense of celebrating the first fruits and then also praying for continued blessing for the rest of the harvest. Jewish people living in other nations would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit on this day is fulfillment of prophecy and God's faithfulness in keeping God's promises. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may gain a deeper understanding of your calling for us as the church. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let us enter into this passage. Begins, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. All of the disciples were together. They're in one place. So that the Spirit pours out upon the whole faith community. This is a community experience rather than an individual experience. We are baptized with the Spirit and water. Jesus had instructed them to remain in Jerusalem. In Acts 1, verses 4 through 5, the risen Christ commands them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And again, we are baptized with both Spirit and water. And if you've not been baptized and you'd like to do this, just let me know. And it would be our pleasure to have you baptized here with this faith community. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Strong wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has descended from heaven, filling the house where the disciples had gathered. This is a gift from heaven, and again, it's a fulfillment of God's promises. God keeps God's promises. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Now, a lot of times, the Holy Spirit isn't focused on. But if we stop and think about it, we reference the Holy Spirit today in our confession and receiving forgiveness, absolution, and when we say the Apostles' Creed, we say the Holy Spirit. But so often, we focus more on God the Father and God the Son. But the Holy Spirit is also an important part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was present at creation with Jesus, as described in Genesis 1. The Spirit moved over the waters to form the world and then breathed life into humans. Jesus, who was fully human and fully divine, had his creation resulting from the Holy Spirit coming to Mary. And Jesus is anointed as the Messiah when the Holy Spirit descends upon him during baptism. Jesus relies upon the Holy Spirit, demonstrating how we, believers, are to engage with God. And Jesus is then resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts reveals that the Holy Spirit continues Christ's ministry after his death and resurrection. Throughout Acts, we see the Holy Spirit engaging with the church and leading the church. So So the church is an extension of the anointing of Jesus during his baptism. The Holy Spirit, again, maintained the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, and so now the Holy Spirit enables the church to enter into this relationship and continue the mission of Jesus, as Christ did only what the Father desired, which he said in John chapter 5, verse 19, the church is given the Holy Spirit as its counselor to do what the Father desires. To truly be church, we need both Word and Spirit. And a risk for the church is always to go off rail if we have one and not the other. If we read the Bible, but we read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, it risks being an academic study, as if we're sitting in college and studying the Bible as literature. The Holy Spirit enlightens and illuminates the Scripture in sometimes ways we didn't understand before. I'm always surprised when I read the Bible and think, I didn't get that. It's not like I never read it before. I just didn't get it. And it was that moment that the Spirit enabled me to get it. Those who rely upon the Holy Spirit and they're not in the Word, oh, that's a big risk. I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, God told me to do this? And you think, really? Really? That doesn't sound like anything in the Bible. Are you sure? And that's the other part that's so important, is for us to be in community with others so that when we think we're hearing something, we think that we're getting a word, that we can share it with somebody who's mature Christian that we trust. You know, God thinks I should move to Alaska, I think. Am I missing this? And, you know, if you start talking to the person, you realize, no, that really wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. What God is maybe calling you to do is something else. So it's important that we be in Word and Spirit, and it's important that we be in community because, again, the Holy Spirit poured out on all who were present. This wasn't something where the Holy Spirit just went to Peter and said, hey, tell them this. The Pentecost moment is on all. So let us embrace having the Holy Spirit fill our church and empower us to continue Christ's ministry. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. What is the significance of tongues of fire? Well, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and the appearance of fire reinforces that God is speaking to the disciples and through the disciples. Today, fire symbolizes passion. Are we on fire for God when we speak? Are we passionate? Do we have that passion that says we're on fire? Let us pray for that as we prepare to speak, that we be on fire, that we have that passion. Verse 4, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, this is baptism by the Holy Spirit. This enabled them to speak in other languages for the glory of God. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. So faithful Jewish people who traveled from their homes in many nations to Jerusalem were present for this holy day. The nations to whom the disciples will be sent to preach the gospel were represented on Pentecost. This foreshadows God fulfilling the covenant with Abraham to be a blessing to every nation. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God promises Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Again, God keeps God's promises. We are also commanded to go and make disciples of all the nations. This is not a one-time only thing for those people 2,000 years ago and we're all good here. No, we are also commanded. And dear friends, we support missionaries in other countries. We've sent people on mission trips, but we don't need to travel or have passports to live according to this Great Commission. Now, yesterday when we walked in the neighborhood near Hope, we encountered people from lots of different countries, people who spoke different languages, some of whom didn't speak our language, but we were able to just greet them and give them a blessing. And so we can go to people from different nations just by walking right outside those doors, and invite you to contemplate that. Verse 6, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Now, just a little background. Galileans were not known for their sophistication. They were kind of a bit of a backwater area, as one person said, nothing good has ever come from Galilee, when he first heard that Jesus was from Galilee. But in fact, good does come from Galilee. And they were able to speak the languages of all who were present. This is miraculous. It also demonstrates that the Holy Spirit uses us just as we are. I think sometimes it can be intimidating to think about going and talking to people, especially people who don't know Jesus, about Jesus. That can be a little intimidating, but we're not meant to be intimidated. We don't need to have the right words to proclaim the gospel, because the Holy Spirit will give them to us. We just need to step forward and to reflect the love and the light that is in Christ. In verse 9, here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both the Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Speaking in the languages of the nations represents a miracle. But it was a miracle to declare the wonders of God. There was a purpose to this. The disciples were empowered to testify to the gospel about Jesus. Proclaiming the gospel is central to the church's call, and it's central to our call 2,000 years later. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. And Peter steps forward and says, listen carefully. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you are seeing was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And what's interesting is this is the only place else that the prophet of Joel is included in Scripture. You know, there are a lot of places in the Bible where, like, the promise to Abraham comes throughout. The suffering servant in Isaiah is repeated. But this is the only place that Joel's prophecy is included. And so it begins with, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. The last days means when God's promises are fulfilled. God's promises are fulfilled through the birth, life, and resurrection of Jesus and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's days. So we are living in these last days. When will the end be? I don't know. And it even says, no one knows. When Jesus said that to the disciples, no one knows. But we are living in those last days. The Spirit will be poured out upon all people. All people. Paul indicates that believers were baptized into one body by one Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so here we have all these different believers, and yet we are in one body by one Spirit. Unity within the church is a gift of the Spirit, but this unity is not uniformity. There is unity and diversity in the church. The Spirit demonstrated unity and love and the proclamation of the gospel message at Pentecost, creating this inclusive, multicultural, multigenerational faith community. And these are the amazing first fruits of the church, which Pentecost, again, was to celebrate, first fruits. But we are also part of those fruits. So that was the first fruits. We are fruits, and we bear fruits through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost represents a transformation of the church, which initially existed as the people of God, Israel, under the Old Covenant, into the Christian church, the body of Christ. So there is the people of God, and Jewish people remain the people of God, but we are the people of God, and then we are more than that, because we are the body of Christ. Theologian Stanley Grin suggests that the mission of the church is to bring to all nations and people the message of hope in the darkness and dangers of our times, and to summon them to obedience of the gospel, that the love of God in Christ Jesus may be poured out upon them by the Spirit, breaking down all barriers, healing all divisions, and gathering them together as one universal flock to meet the coming of the Great Shepherd, the one Lord and Savior of all. And I think that's important just to ponder, that we are called to point to the church, to point to Jesus, to point to the Spirit. And that at some point in time, there will be healing of all divisions and gathering together as one universal flock. Dear friends, as we look at our world today and we look at all the pain, the suffering, the divisiveness, that's the end goal. That's the end vision, is unity. This is God's perfect plan. And this, as the church, is our mission. As I said last year, we're on a mission from God. Kind of like the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God. But fortunately, this mission that seems really daunting, we have the Holy Spirit to empower us and to live according to this mission. Revelation describes when people from all the nations will enter into the New Jerusalem and worship God. Joel continues, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. The Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people, young and old, male and female, to speak prophetically, to proclaim the gospel. And this is, of course, a theme that the Apostle Paul will later take up in Galatians. There is no Jew nor Greek, no male nor female, no slave nor free. We are all together in the church. And that's where the book of Acts is going, by including this. That's what Luke is pointing to. We're all together. We're all together in this. The prophecy of Joel concludes in this reference by St. Peter. And I will cause wonders in heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. The great and glorious day of the Lord is when Jesus returns and heaven and earth will be united. It is also judgment day. And we know that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. But then we have the hope and the promise in verse 21. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The people of God includes people from all nations who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you've poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church on that day on Pentecost, but that you continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon your church, enabling us, empowering us. Help us to stay in the Word and the Spirit, to be the church that you want us to be, to follow the leading of your Spirit. Help us to speak your gospel, to speak your truth to others around us. And help us to just stay on track with you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.